All right, so from the top,
make it drop. That's it.
I'm Lamont, and I get sad sometimes.
And I'm Leia, your resident emo.
And you're tuning into the Lamont and Leia podcast. Welcome to the month of July. As you guys know, we're in the second part of July, and there were three national holidays that stood out to me. The first one was July 18th, National Get Out of the Doghouse Day, which is the third Monday of every July.
What is that?
I don't know.
Like an actual doghouse, or like where you're in trouble with someone and you're trying to get out of the doghouse?
I think the second, yeah.
Okay.
So the second one that stood out to me was National Hot Dog Day, which is every third Wednesday in July. And the last one was July 24th, National Parents Day, which is every fourth Sunday in July. So, you're telling me there's a Mother's Day, a Father's Day, and a Parents Day? But we really don't celebrate National Parents Day a lot.
I've never heard of it before. What about National Oldest Sister is the Best Person in the World Day?
I'm pretty sure there's something out there for that.
There better be. Where's my gifts?
Oh my gosh. So today, Leia, we're going to talk about a really hard topic for some people. But it's important to be informed. So we're going to talk about depression. And we're going to look at ways to understand it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And symptoms. And maybe ways we can better manage if we're experiencing it. We have invited a special guest. He is a teacher, self-published author, and fellow podcaster.
His name is Dee Gatherwright.
Okay, all right.
He is the host of Kingdom Healing for Daily Living. And he has a website, which we will talk about later.
All right. So welcome, Dee. Welcome to the Lamont and Leia podcast. Will you take a minute to just introduce yourself to our listener and viewer audience?
Well, as I say on my podcast, I'm super excited to be on with Leia and Lamont. I am a podcaster myself, Kingdom Healing for Daily Living, author of about five books. I'm a self-published author. I have studied psychology. I am currently working in the field of a therapist. I'm a part-time therapist, full-time teacher. Eventually, it's going to go into therapy full-time, but until I get some things, still working on some things, but I do a group every Wednesday. Also do some marriage counseling. Well, individuals that want to get married, we do some counseling with that. We've worked in the field of social service for, well, since 94. After 20 years, I lose count. And along with social service, I have also taught. I've taught in 16 years in Chicago Public Schools. Everybody see the Chicago Bears back there. I'm an avid Bears fan, regardless they win or lose. It is what it is. However, I'm a minister, associate pastor in my church. So a lot of the routes that I usually go is from a spiritual counseling model that I do. It's cognitive behavior therapy, of course, but it's a spiritual way to do it. And when we talk about spiritual, it's not one in which, it's so many definitions with being spiritual, but my definition is simple. You go within, and as you go within, that's how you are able to win. So you're going within, that's how you're able to win. So that part, I've been married July the 10th. Me and my wife will be celebrating 29 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Another project that I'm working on now, just was able to finish the curriculum. I did that over the COVID shutdown. I was able to come up with a curriculum for dad. So I will be doing a dad support group, similar to what you guys have right here. So we'll be on live, we'll be talking to dads and have that support system going for dads. Because one of the things I've noticed in my 20 plus years working in social service, along with, you know, the public schools, is that the dads do not get just, you know, they do not get they just do. You know, it's always the children, it's always let's support the mom. But some mysterious way, probably because of the dad's behavior, they're not getting supported. So we want to take the leap out there and support dad. So I guess I covered it all. I mean, I do so much.
Yeah, it That's sounds awesome. Like you are super busy. It sounds like you have a servant's heart. And it sounds like you just really want to help people heal and grow and keep moving in life.
Yes, my motto is to help people discover how to live their best lives. Whatever that life looked like, they the only ones that can define it. So yes. And I forgot, you know, I forgot my four children and my two grandchildren. So I want to make sure when they listen in, they were like, oh, you forgot. No, I didn't forget them. No, my joys of my life.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. So with life, there comes hardships, right? And so today we're talking about depression. And Leigh and I always kind of like to start with a definition. So how would we define or how would we describe or what is depression?
Well, I do mine a little different. You know, you'll have some people that'll come with the definition that can confuse everybody. And then you're sitting back like, what did he just say? So mine's is real simple. You know, you either going to be at an anxiety state or you're going to be at a depressive state. Or you're going to be in the middle and you kind of regulating both. So where you okay, you're functioning all right. So the depression is the low state. That's when you cannot get out of bed. That's when you, regardless of how many motivational tapes you're listening to, that's not going to motivate you. That is I call it a fog. You're actually in a fog. You're actually trying to figure it out and nothing is working at that time, the moment. So that's my simplified definition of it without losing everybody in a psychological jargon. You're at a low point in your life.
All right. Leigh, do you have a definition?
No, but I do want to maybe add like a clarifying question. So what is the difference between depression or having a depressive episode and just being real sad?
That's a good question, because some people can go through sad moments. We all do. Mm-hmm. And then you can go through a depressive state. A depressive state is something that it's there for a while. You can be sad when it leads to something. So the state leads to, you know, like for instance, you lose a job. And instead of you're sad you lost the job, and instead of you saying, okay, you know what, there's another job out there, now you're so into that moment that it started taking you over. When that moment takes you over, that's when the state starts to express itself in a way in which that's not healthy. You start blaming yourself, you start doubting your self-worth. So that's the state right there. You're having all these negative thoughts that are coming to your mind. You're having all type, you know, you probably start going back into your past and you start thinking about some failures from your past and you're attaching that to the moment. So that's when help is needed, really, because and those strategies help a person be able to look at the good and fight the bad with the good. Because other than that, and without some professional help, really, it can lead to some very unhealthy behaviors.
That actually brings up like another question. Depression, medical condition, right?
Right.
Okay. So would it be okay for someone who has all these feelings that you're describing, like they can't get past it, that like it's really taking a toll on their day-to-day life, would it be fair for them to be like, oh, I have depression, I am depressed, or would they have to have a diagnosis, like from a professional?
Well, it can go either way. I mean, having a diagnosis is what usually, unfortunately, get the, you know, the therapist in to be able to pay the bills. So that's really what the diagnosis is really for. You know, I'm a realist, so I'm just gonna keep it real. But and that helps, because once you do the assessment, you have your assessment tool as a therapist, and you're able to identify those, like you were saying, you're able to identify the various types of moods that individual is in at that point, then you can go forward with your diagnosis. For a person, I wouldn't say for a person to just sit back and say, well, I'm depressed. I would say if they're not feeling a healthy way to seek help, I wouldn't, because putting labels on things can kind of mess you up some more. So even for a person to say, because I know trying to identify it, I hear you, I need to identify this. I need to know why I'm in this, you know, state that I'm in. But a professional helping you and explaining to you, yes, this is what it is. However, I'm just not a person to say, okay, you're depressed. You might be going through a few episodes, a negative something, because I really don't want that person to speak that into their life. I really want them to speak themselves out of that. Like, we're having a moment, we're having a downtime. Let's try and look at it from this perspective. Now, of course, medical reasons, of course, as a therapist, you want to be able to say, okay, this is what I'm treating them for. Yes, that's what you do. Yes, you might have to share that with a patient, but I really honestly say that for a person to sit back and say, I'm depressed, I would say recognize symptoms. And then once you recognize those symptoms, then you can seek out help, you know, because just labeling things, that person labeling themselves, that could become dangerous, really dangerous. If that makes any sense.
Yes, that makes sense. So to give you some background about me, I'm a group facilitator and I run mental health groups from K through 12th. And in middle school this year, I had this one group of guys and we had to do like second week two is usually stigma reduction. And we're talking about stigma and how to reduce it. And so with that comes like the conversation of mental health and different type of mental healths that people go through. And one of my kids was like, depression isn't real. And I was like, well, what do you mean depression isn't real? And he was like, no, like they're just being lazy. Like that, I was like that. And until when I made a decision to stop being lazy, then like I got better. And so I know that that's probably coming from his parents and their culture and their background and how they believe things are done. And I'm guessing like he was not well for a while, but eventually like out of it after like several months and developed better habits and like got himself out of that depression thing. Maybe like the dopamine like dropped correctly or whatever. I don't know, but like, so like I know like you can shift out of it, but it was so sad that he didn't even realize, or he wasn't willing to recognize it in other people, that like people go through this. And it's not like, I was like, it's not forever. It doesn't always last forever. It can, especially if you don't get it treated, it can last forever. But it doesn't always stay. It doesn't always last. It can come, it can go. And like, he just wasn't buying it. He was just like, no, it's not real. It's fake. And by the end of that like topic, all the boys agreed with him. Like, so I was like, okay, well, Mr. Lamont's not winning today, but it's okay. I try my best to educate. But in like, they're not the only ones. Like in 2022, people don't believe that depression is real. Why is that?
Well, people don't understand that mental health is real, first of all. Mm-hmm. That you can look, you know, I'm telling my son, I have a 17-year-old son. And I'm saying to him, a person can look very well. They can look, I mean, it can be the most beautiful, you know, just gorgeous person you ever saw in your life. But asking the right questions, watching certain symptoms, I would say run at that point. Because a lot of people, and even when I was in school, it was not something that, and depending on the culture, it's various cultures will go and seek the necessary help because there's a stigma behind it as you're crazy. You're not crazy. What you're trying to do is make sure that you don't go crazy, number one, and that you handle certain symptoms like you just mentioned, because the gentleman that was saying that it's not real is basically, you said it, the way he's been conditioned. You know, you're lazy. It has nothing to do with lazy, because depression can go inside of your families. That's one reason why, like we always, and you know, being a mental health, in the mental health field, we always say that there are a surface and there's things that's under the layer, they're under the surface. So when you're dealing with depression, is what is under that, what is under the layers that's causing the depression. And that's where you have to unwrap, and that's where you have to process so that you can get to the things that's triggering the depression. Might be some unresolved issue that a person has in their life, and it constantly triggers the depression. It might be, as I'm learning in my groups, because I co-facilitate with an awesome seasoned therapist, that you might have to work towards dismantling the trauma. So a lot of individuals do not deal with how they've been traumatized. And trauma is the way a person's body reacts to a situation that was horrific. Everybody react differently. And from that situation can come depression. So it's a lot of ways. And that's one reason why, as a therapist, you have to process through that. You have to process even what you're saying, the family dynamics and all of that, and get and help people to become aware. One of the things that therapy do is it helps a person become aware. Just like Lamont, what you're doing in your groups, you're helping the young people become aware. You're educating them on behaviors that they need to be aware of. That's why it's like, okay, it's kind of like an oxymoron when I said, well, you don't want to claim depression. However, you need to be aware of it. You don't want to claim it, but you want to be like, man, I've been laying in bed too long. You know, I just don't feel like getting up. I don't want, no, don't cut the lights on. So if a person educates you on those symptoms, now you're able to say, you know what? I think I need to get me some help. Now, you don't want to claim it. Of course, I'm going to stick to my don't claim it. But let's say, well, I need to get to a support group. I need to talk to someone about this, you know. But as far as a person being lazy, unfortunately, I was just reading. You guys probably heard it yourself. What is rapper? He was traumatized because he saw his, which I have questions about that. But anyway, the way the story went, the rapper saw his girlfriend snatched in front of his house at gunpoint. Few hours later, come to find out she's dead. He's traumatized from that. He has to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, he even posted some, you know, something on the on his page or something like that in regards to that. That's trauma that he has to process through. He could become depressed over that, because I would ask the question, why you went out there running to try and save her? Or, you know, I mean, hey, her, you know, so you gotta, you know, deal with it. I've seen, or I've been a part of someone that unfortunately took their life. So now I have to constantly deal with, could I have done something else in regards to that? That could become depressed. So if I'm not with the right support groups and I'm not listening and getting various strategies to deal with that, then now it's not you being lazy. It's just not being aware. And unfortunately, a lot of people put themselves in a position where they accept the denial. They don't know they're being in denial, but they accept whatever it is that supports them, saying, okay, well, this is why you know, you feel this way, or you're doing this or doing the other. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I kind of want to touch on like that not claiming it. So like when I'm educating the kids about like different mental disorders, mm-hmm. I teach them to like our language matters, and how we say things and how they come across, it matters, right? So we don't want to call people living with schizophrenia. We want to say they're living with schizophrenia, or they're dealing with it, or they're managing their schizophrenic symptoms, you know. It's very different from like, this is what I am, right? Absolutely. So I think that's what you mean by like not claim it. Be aware. Absolutely be aware. Don't call yourself the mental health or the mental disorder.
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you want to say this is what you're trying to manage, this is what you're trying to deal with. Because your words have power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you want to speak life into your life. You really actually do. And a lot of conditioning comes from the way people are expressing messages to us, how we're receiving those messages, what people are saying to us all the time. You know, being in the school, like you stated, I have to deal with various types of behaviors from the teacher perspective. I have to put the teacher's hat on and I'll say, oh, you know, I really want to go there with therapeutic, but they are paying me to be a teacher at this moment. So trying to get the students, like you're saying, to become aware of the fact that these are things that can help you to become proactive. Because I know one of the questions might be, well, you know, what are some strategies to dealing with it? Well, I'm a fan of being proactive. If you know that those are triggers, if you know that that's in your past, and again, that's where the right support groups help you with that, is you know how to become proactive. You know that, you know, if it's the middle of the night and you cannot sleep and you just had these horrible dreams or something that's just really nagging at you or something to that magnitude, well, now we need to do some meditation. We need some soft music. Now we need to do something to disrupt that pattern. So there's various things, and that's probably why I'm thinking about now what you were saying about the young man. That's probably why he might have the audacity to say a person is being lazy, because he assuming, and that's a bad way to be, assuming that a person is not trying. You don't know until you talk to them and ask them what does that look like. So when you're hearing of what it looks like as far as how they're fighting whatever the episode is, then you can sit there and say, okay, that's great, or you know, let's tweak that a little bit more, because you never want to say, oh, that's terrible. That's never going to work. No, because now you're going to be kicking them down the road where you're trying to get them to come from, away from, you know. So, yes.
Both of you had mentioned seeking help, going to a doctor, being proactive. Mm-hmm. I know from firsthand experience how hard it is to actually find a doctor, to find the, I don't want to say bravery, but like, the will to like be like, hey, listen, I want to talk to somebody. my experience personally has been I talked to one person and I said never again. Wow. So but maybe it was just her, I don't know, we'll see. But like, why is it so hard for someone to seek out help, like professional help?
There's so many stigmas around it. When I went to, literally, I felt led, honestly. I felt led by the spirit to go in this realm. I've worked in it because it really was like my ministry. I am from the Pentecostal background. And what happened was I grew up in the church, really. And I really thought that, you know, getting behind the mic was the way to go. And when I got into the ministry, it was kind of ironic how the Lord used me in a way in which, because I grew up in the church, because I got, you know, accepted the Lord at a young age, about 14, when I was just about to get, I was just looking at some horrible pictures of me trying to gangbang, but it was terrible. But so I right when I was about to get started, I stopped, you know, the Lord stopped me. And so ministry was always there. And so when I got called into the ministry at 19, I'm thinking I'm going to be this guy that's going from pulpit to pulpit, just breaking scriptures down and all of that. The Lord is like, no, I want you on the street. And I'm like, on the street? So I wind up working intense case management and dealing with behaviors and looking at it from that perspective. And it was like a whole world opened up to me. It's not about the fact that this is somebody cuckoo or, you know, all these stigmas they put behind it, but it's just the way that people have been conditioned, the environments that they're in, trying to get them to look at things from a different perspective and not look at it from one, you know, one way, because we're so stuck on one way And I think that can add to the depression because we're so stuck in that system that we feel like there is no hope, there's no way out. Unfortunately, we as professionals, we done sat there and professionalized it so much, even with the language, that people just getting lost. They're like, man, you know what? That's okay, that's all right. Peace, love, and potato chips. And they get real quiet and they just looking at you. And now you're trying to get them out of it and you got lost yourself. So simplifying it to the point where you understand that we're here to help. And what I just found out in the spirit, you take it off of you. And now we reflected on you, as far as the me, I take it off of me and I reflect it on you. You tell me how I can help you. You describe what will make you feel better. And as you're describing to me what makes you feel better, now we're coming up with a strategy around that instead of finding you a book and going through, okay, well, what this book said, that's not going to work. We know it as professionals. We done sat in the classroom, went in the workforce, and had to throw the book out the window because it's like, man, this is not working. You know, so that's a way that, hopefully I answered the question. that's a way that I think that can help people is once we hear your heart and then we try and direct strategies around what can work for you.
Yeah, Leah, other things that might get away of people finding it hard to go to therapy might be financial reasons, right? Maybe they can't afford, or they feel like they can't afford to seek help and go to therapy. Another thing is, like you had mentioned, the it's not okay. Like in Black families, it's not okay. Like, you're fine. Like, we got this. Like, you don't need help. Like, we have all the help you need. Listen to what we're saying, you know? And it's ideas and thoughts like that that just support and build up that stigma. Like, if you go seek help, you're weak or there's something wrong with you or whatever. So it's the stigma that Dee was talking about. It might be financial reasons. And then, like, in like your case, Leah, maybe you're not a good fit. Like, the therapist that you ran into, you're not a good fit. And so when I do stigma reduction, I always bring that up to my kids. It's like, if you are with your therapist for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you're not feeling connection, you're not feeling respected, you're not feeling like the treatment is working, it is okay to tell them and they will get you another therapist. And it might take a couple of times before you land with the right person to help you. But I believe for everyone, but I don't believe that every therapist is for everyone.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I agree. I would say a good fit would be someone that allows you to tell your story. If you cannot tell your story and they're patching it in for you, or you're telling your story and they're not, like, for instance, we were describing what was going on, but honestly, I felt like the guy was just sitting there listening. And maybe his method was, okay, the next session I'm going to kind of like help out here and there. But I just feel like if I'm talking to you, at least you can agree. Not even agree or disagree. I mean, get some type of feedback. Like, you know, that's interesting. And what about A, B, or C? I mean, I heard none of that. And it was like, you know what? I know I do this myself, but I know this is a bad way to do this, you know, because this is just not landing at all with me. So our strategy now is to let the person tell the story. Let the person tell the story, and then ask them, well, what do you want us to do? Recognize their pain. You know, we don't want to when person start pouring their heart out, you don't want to shut them down. That's one of the things I just learned. You don't shut anyone down. Just let them just spill it all out. Okay, good. Tell me some more. Because that within itself is therapeutic, just to tell the story. Just to relive what it is that's just gnawing away at you, just to get that off your chest. And even though, again, it's mentioned in probably every therapeutic book that's out there to be a good listener, everyone is not a good listener, you know, or they listening and they not even tuned in to what you're saying.
Right, right.
And it's like, okay, is the session over? So, yeah. So it's really, it's really an interesting take and everything. But I just hope and pray that everybody do find a way. Because here we go, even with, and like I say, I'm staunch apostolic, proud of it, love what I do, don't have any regrets. However, we're quick to slap Jesus on everything. You know, you're like, man, I'm not feeling this. Well, call on Jesus. Okay, now call on Jesus. What else do I need to do? So now what I do, especially in one of my books called entitled Replacing the Addiction, is I show them how to take the scriptures and use those as therapeutic interventions. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand. And how, what better way to get help than seeing how the Bible is just not a story or a book that people can debate and play volleyball with. But these are ways in which you could utilize it to help you get out of the negative situation. But you got to look at it from a step by step. Just like the groups of the mind that you do, you go with your curriculum and you say, well, you do this and you do that. That's ways to desensitize this situation, or these are ways to make sure that you're aware. If a person can look at the Bible and be trained by someone to look at the Bible that can help them with that, then that's great. And that's where, that's where my podcast comes in at, Kingdom Healing for Daily Living. So we take the strategies from the Bible and we go from there. But what we've done recently is we've opened it up to authors. So there are a lot of authors that have been through traumatic experiences. And here's another method and strategy we put a lot of emphasis on, write about. So they've written about it, and now it's so amazing that their story has become a book. And now they're trying to tell others how they dealt with it and how they were able to get over the challenges that they went through. And then what you were saying about financial, a lot of individuals don't even understand their health plan. There is, like for instance, if you have to check your health coverage, because they should, the companies know that if I can get this person some help, then they could be a better performing employee. So there's a lot of ways that that healthcare and that health coverage that a lot of people don't take advantage of that you can utilize. Like for instance, with us, when we were dealing with our son, we were able to check and make sure that we had different type of coverage that could help us. And we did.
Yeah. So the only reason I finally went, even though I didn't like her, but because yes, we were not a good fit. Not interested in having another session with her. The only reason why I went is because of social media. I know a lot of people are just like, oh, social media is this horrible thing that causes you to need to go to therapy. Yeah. But I feel like I only wanted to because I heard so many people like on TikTok and on YouTube saying, hey, I went, this is, you know, how I'm feeling now as compared to how I used to be feeling, or this is what me and my therapist talked about this week and it really helped me. So I was like, okay, well, maybe maybe that'll work out. So I know people usually give social media a bad rap, but I do like how open people are becoming, and hopefully that will help break down the stigma about seeking help. I mean, there's still people out there who are making social media messy, but
right. So I have another question. Can depression be mistaken for something else?
It can be, and that's one reason why the proper diagnostic or diagnosis is important. That's one reason why trying to get professional help and someone being in that support group to be able to recognize certain symptoms, because you don't want to be trying to treat depression and it's something else, it's another disorder. We have a book, the DSM-4, where we go through that. I see you shaking your head, Lamont, so you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I think we're using the DSM-5 actually, but yeah.
Yeah, the DSM-5 now, yeah. I mean, we've used the DSM-4 so much. And you just basically, you match the patterns and the behaviors, the questions, a great diagnostic tool looks to see if a person can state and express what type of way that they're feeling it and how they can describe it. And that's how you pick up on what behavior it is. But you don't want to be, that's one reason why I say it's not good to just sit there and say that that's what you are. You know, let a tool be able to kind of assess where you're at. Because you might be in a high anxiety state and you're saying depression. You know, yeah, so well, those are things that to keep in mind. But it's very important. You guys pose a very important question that can help us to live our best lives.
Today, I'm going to be asking you for a number.
All right, I think I'm going to choose a number 7.
Cool. So also give me a verb.
A verb like something that you do. Mm-hmm. Adulting.
A body part.
The heart.
A heart. Cool. Another verb ending in ED.
Slapped.
With a 5 finger say slap. Noun.
A person, place, or thing. Kavika.
I'm gonna say brother.
Aww, I like Kavika better.
Alright, how about an adjective?
Describing something. Woozy.
Woozy, that's a good one. Another noun.
Palace.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, adjective.
Tiny.
Another noun.
Phone.
Got it. Okay, type of measurement.
A 32D.
So bra size. Okay, got it. Bra size.
What is that measurement?
Okay, give me a fraction.
3/4.
3/4. That's okay. Another number or just a number?
17.
17. An animal.
Is it going to be bad or is this going to be like amazingly wonderful? You got to tell me, Leia. That depends on the animal. All right, since I don't know, we'll just go with man's best friend, a dog.
A doggy. Okay, another noun. I'm struggling with nouns today.
I know. Store. Why not? We'll just say store. Store.
Store. Okay, a verb.
All right, this is when I was like Googling or like, but not Googling, like. Like, you Google. Look at someone. Ogling.
Oh, is that how you say it? Yeah.
Okay, ogling.
How to spell that? No idea, but I made my best effort. Okay, another noun. That is a person, a place, or a thing.
Yes. A tail.
A tail?
Tail.
Okay. A verb ending in ing.
Pitching.
Cool. A noun.
Leia.
Say woman. Adjective.
We're
almost done.
Voluptuous. Is that an adjective? Yeah, that describes something.
Voluptuous. If that is definitely not how you spell it, but that's all right. 3 different numbers.
3, 6, 9.
3, 6, and 9. And finally, a verb.
Babbling.
Is that all a verb? Yeah.
Okay.
Or babble?
Yeah, to babble.
Babble. All right. So, roast goose with apple stuffing recipe.
We never mentioned a goose.
Chop the heart from 1 10 to 7 pound ready to adulting goose. Cook with 1 slapped onion and 2 brother spoons of butter till onion is woozy and the heart is done. Mix with 5 cups of dried palace cubes. 2 cups chopped tiny phones, 1/4 cup snipped parsley, 3/4 of a bra size of dried sage, crushed, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 3/4 teaspoon pepper. Mix 17 beaten eggs and 1/2 cup dog broth. Toss with bread mixture.
What's dog broth?
I don't want to know. Use to fill store cavity. Ogling legs together. Ogling to tail. Prick legs and wings with tail. Place on rack in shallow pitching pan. Insert woman thermometer in center of inside voluptuous muscle without touching bone. Roast at 3 degrees till thermometer registers 185 degrees for 2 to 6 hours. Babble off fat. Serves 9 to 10. Alrighty.
Wow.
That was all over the place.
That was all over the place.
3/4 of a bra size of dried sage. Alrighty, if you guys want to do your own Mad Libs, I actually found an online website called madtakes.com where they have a bunch of different ones that you can just fill in online. I will link it down below. Yeah. If you enjoyed that, leave a noun in the comments.
And we're back. So, what are some signs and symptoms of depression that we can become aware of that might, like, let that little bell in our head, like, hey, let's go talk to a doctor. Let's go get a little bit of help.
Well, we mentioned it earlier. If a person has been dealing with trauma, so something is so traumatized to the point that it leads to a depressive state or a place where, because I know we're throwing a word around, so let's talk about how it looks. What it looks like is a person cannot get out of bed. All the enjoyable activities that an individual participated in before, they're not finding that enjoyable. Your lifestyle has just drastically changed. And I mean, things, and the way that you can look at it as far as change, and it's changing in an unhealthy way. You basically, the showering, you don't want to shower, you don't want to eat. You basically, you really don't want to get out of bed. So if you're noticing that you like to read, you stop reading. I mean, little basic stuff. So like you saying, things, bells going off in your head, you know, you like to water your plants, dying, you know, the cat and the dog cannot eat. Because you're not eating and you just, oh, hey, the rover, whatever, man. You just, you know, you want to survive. Fish been turned upside down. You know, I'm just went to the extreme right there. But, you know, so those simple things that you do start getting neglected. The simple stuff. You start noticing that these simple things are getting neglected. And then you can look back to that day that the trauma occurred. And the weird thing about when a person has been traumatized is that it might not. And one of the things I've been trained to do just recently is check in with someone after the trauma that took place. You say, okay, you kind of ask a few questions to see where they're at. You give it another, and this is days afterwards. Then you come back like a week later and see. So, but that trauma usually triggers the depression. And so what happens, you have to be able to follow up with them. But to go back to your question, Lamont, any normal activities that is interrupted, that's when it signs that, okay, I need to, if I'm not strong enough to ask for help, someone needs to ask for help for me. So, and then just hopefully, as we are getting the information out, if we see individuals, notice my neighbor always cut his grass. All of a sudden, you see a forest over there. So, whoa, I see what's going on. You know, so just hearing the information, we need to be on the lookout. Like, for instance, I'm always, I guess because of my training, I'm always looking for the breaking of patterns with my students. If I notice that now, because of my profession in the school, now I know social worker. Now I know making a referral for the behavior interventions. So being aware to help people too with that. So that's a great question. what alarms go off in your head, you just see a broken pattern. And if it continues, it might be, you know, somebody just had a down day, like you mentioned earlier, Leah. They're angry, they're mad, they're frustrated. Okay. But 3 days go by, it's time to start, you know, checking in on that for sure.
Yeah, I think it's important because, like you were saying, with the trauma that a person experiences, with everything that's going on, if they're having a hard time making decisions and it's lasting like 3 or more days, if they're having thoughts of death or suicide thoughts, or just having a hard time moving, it's time to just check in. Let's go see the doctor. Let's go talk to someone. Like, even though it's like hasn't started that long or hasn't been that long, or if it has been long, it's important to go see someone. So, another thing that you were talking about is that support system. Who are your people that are going to support you, right? Are they watching? Are they being aware? Do they know what to look out for?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Check in on your friends. Yeah. Especially nowadays, especially since we just got out of a very extended period of time where you couldn't check on your friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Check in with people. Even if it's just kind of like, I don't know. I send a lot of like TikToks and YouTube videos to all my friends.
That's a way to check in.
Yeah. And I've had someone actually just send me a message like, hey, I'm not feeling very good. I don't want to talk, but thank you for sending me all of these. So, little things, right?
Right.
So, what are some tips or tricks that can help? What are some common treatments for depression?
And making a person aware of their thoughts, thought monitoring, we call it thought monitoring, trying to make sure that, and I'm, you know, I got a book over here, but I really want to just try and make it where it's just so simple that a person can say, okay, I want to monitor my thoughts. And then just being able to journal. My favorite one is journaling. And I've told my clients that if your journal is not some traditional, let me go get, you know, pen, paper, the journal can be you writing a song, you writing a poem, you're doing what Leah just mentioned, you're coming up with a TikTok, you're coming up with it. I mean, journaling is so, it's your creative world, whatever creative world you want to create. I have a young man going through some things with his mom and he's just writing lyrics like crazy. So I said, turn that into a song, you know? So we want to make sure that the strategy that we suggest to individuals, that it's something that they can generate without having to try and remember rules. Well, okay, what's the rule of that? No, you could draw a picture. I was just looking at something saying drawing a picture, you know. Then there are things in which there are a little temperature gauge. I'm sure, Lamont, you're probably familiar with that one.
Right.
You know, which way is it fluctuating? Are you a smiley face for happy day? You know, that kind of emotionless person for a middle day, a frown for, you know. So being able to kind of see where you are and checking in, like you said, Leah, checking in with your feelings. Where are my feelings at this point? And then being able to distinguish your feelings and your emotions. Those are strategies that you can do, because feelings, we tell people that feelings are like the weather. You know, today it could be sunshine, tomorrow it could be rain. So that's one reason why we say again, and hopefully the person is getting this, is that we don't want to label ourselves a certain way, because if you caught up in your feelings, you know, I've seen students, they cry one moment, the next minute they laugh, you know, it's like, huh? So, but some things that you can do on your own, 3 breaths, go for a walk, you know, get you some fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So hopefully that's helpful. Y'all let me know.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I know some people go on medication. Well, now, when a person goes on medication, do they have to go on medication forever?
Well, it depends on the severity of it, because again, you're talking about being traumatized, because that's where a lot of it comes from, a lot of it. And so it depends if that, because what happens is with the medication, it regulates your moods. So a doctor comes in at that point to see how your brain is really, it's some, I don't have the medical term, you know, on my lips right now, but it's a way that your brain is processing. And their medical doctor is able to look and see and determine if that's necessary. Because I have clients, they better take their medicine, because it will be, it'll be a very interesting day. And the parents begging me, when can we go see the doctor? Because this is, you know, and it can go either way, you know, to regulate that, that individual that's just all over the place, or regulate that person that's just, like you stated, I mean, they cannot, strategies are not working. And one of the things that my mentor shares and suggests with us all the time is that you have the medicine to regulate the behavior, and then you have the strategies that help you implement, you know, the things that once your mind is regulated, once your mind is on that even keel, now this is what I do. So they both work hand in hand, honestly. But it, let me be careful though. It depends on the severity.
Right. Yeah. So there's some people that might need medicine only for a little bit of time to help them, just like give them that initial push and get them regulated, and then learn the strategies and stuff. It's probably not always best to rely on medication alone though. So you definitely want to be like taking it, learning strategies, and see how the combination of the two work. I guess for some people, medication might work alone for them, but I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend like layering it for sure.
Well, and it, like, again, it depends on, depending on the level of the trauma. If a person probably went through, here's another story I heard about this young lady that got caught up in a sex trap, and her dad was with her. Dad let her go to the washroom and didn't see her to 2-3 months later. So now those moods and that what has happened to her mind because of the trauma depends on how well she's functioning and how well the therapist is working with her and watching it and monitoring her progress, if it's needed, and then definitely checking in with the doctor to see how that mind, you know, is producing the juice or the synopsis that it's doing, if that mind process messed up from that. So that's something that might need, you know, to be medicated, you know, for a while. Or okay, she done got over it, the strategies are working, when triggers come, this is what she's doing. So all of that inside of the process, inside of the notes, the doctor looking at, the doctor monitoring, along with the therapist, it depends on the trauma. And unfortunately, we live in a very ugly world.
Unfortunately, there are very ugly things that can happen. Absolutely.
I'm glad that you guys did mention layering and how, like, you know, sometimes you just need medication just for that initial push, or maybe more long term. Because I know, unfortunately, I have participated in the stigma of you don't need pills, just go outside. I feel bad. I make sure to delete those posts when they pop up on my remember this day back in 2013. I'm like, oh, sorry.
The more you know, right?
Yeah, because I personally know some people that, you know, got help, start on medication, and it improved for them. And I mean, they don't share all their business, so I don't know if they're still taking it or if they're no longer on medication, but I've seen improvement in a few of my friends because, yeah, you got to layer it. Got to try everything. Just something I wanted to add, because you mentioned journaling earlier, and I know for a fact I hate writing. I don't know. I like to write in here. I don't like to write out here. if that makes sense. Like, in my brain, physically, no thank you. But something that I did was I actually started recording myself, like, just my conversation with myself, speaking it out loud. And I know that helped me to get over a few things that, you know, I needed to work through, and that therapist that I went through sucked, so she didn't help me. I did it myself.
Yeah. Well, that's journaling. Believe it or not, that's journaling right there too.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's not a traditional, okay, you have, it was like, okay, you have your spiral. No. Okay. You're not going to get help. So, you know, so you want to be able to make sure that whatever's comfortable, your comfort level, that helps out 100%.
Exactly.
Also, I just wanted to clarify that, yes, medication can help, and not everyone needs medication. So I also just want to put that out there too. Like, sometimes you may not need the medication, and the strategies just work along with some other things that your doctor or your therapist, or maybe some things that you find out on your own, work.
Absolutely. And that's one reason why, like Leah was saying, now this can wrap back around to what Lamont said earlier about somebody being lazy. Well, if you have a lazy therapist, now you're gonna have a problem. But if somebody's able to actively monitor your progress and notice the, you know, you're moving out of breaking a cycle of not wanting to be productive and not wanting to do things that you found joy in, now they're noticing that, oh, they're going back to watering the grass. They're going back to watering the plant. They're reading more, they're singing more. Those things right there could say, oh, they might not need no medicine, you know, because of what they're doing on their own. But if it's not, if you constantly, because there are some people, I'm just thinking about it. There are some clients I have talk therapy. I've discussed this often with my supervisor. I don't see this working too well for this individual. So they need the medicine. They need more intense type of situations to address their needs. So it's not a cookie cutter approach.
Yeah.
It's not like one shoe fits all. That's not.
I love that. It's not a cookie cutter approach. Your experience is going to be different, similar to other people, but different in the way in which you get there.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we discussed a lot of really good stuff today. I know our podcast was supposed to be about depression, but I think we also covered a lot of stuff about seeking help and therapy and different strategies to, you know, not just combat depression, but also some other things that could be, you know, related. So Lamont, we might have to change our title. So future listeners or watchers, let us know what our title is, because it might have changed. But was there anything else you guys wanted to talk about or touch on? I think that we missed.
I think we got it. What do you think, Dee?
I think so. But we want to make sure that with the anxiety, just a little bit of it, just a little bit, because that's on the opposite spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
That's someone that, you know, like I say, my mentor, the way that he mentioned about depression was someone that is focused on the past. Anxiety is someone that's focused more on the future, what is going to happen.
That is a great explanation for the difference. Thank you.
No problem. And he mentioned, and this is straight, like, hey, I got an awesome mentor that's helping me out with this, because like I say, 8 years and I wasn't even simplified like this, but when anxiety is a person constantly telling themselves over and over again, the worst thing that can happen, this is the worst thing. Oh my gosh, oh my God. And then the amazing thing about it is that that might not happen, but they're still focused on if this happened, if that, oh my goodness, this didn't work, that didn't work. Oh, this happened. So the way that we've been trained to confront that is to think of the worst thing that can happen. Now you've already put the worst thing that can happen. So your mind is like, okay, well, I was just thinking that, you know, if I flew to Mars, then that's how I'll be feeling right now. But I'm on the moon. So you basically distancing, you put the worst out there and you deal with it from that perspective. And then working towards, that's another thing that we've been talking about on our weekly group, is that 85% of our thoughts are negative. So 15% are positive. So working on replacing the 85% negative with something positive every day. You chipping away, you're constantly chipping away at that negativity, because that negativity is, like I told a couple today, I said, we all got definitions out there. Everyone want to argue. You have to be careful with that, but no one want to help people. They just want to play volleyball games. So positive simplified that one to the point where it's adding, negative is subtracting. So you want to add something positive. And like I stated, for both of them, the anxiety and the depression, you want to be able to add, because this is helping you to become proactive, because things happen. So you want to just be as proactive as possible and constantly listen to a podcast like this.
Thank you.
I agree. Well, I think we covered everything. I think we're good. Thank you for that little last minute, correlation between the two. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
And I know you have a podcast, and we're definitely going to be linking that below. But if someone wanted to speak to you, maybe about today's topic, or maybe about some other things, or maybe invite you on their podcast, where could people get a hold of you?
Great question. Dgatherite.org. Just like the name, let's take Dennis out of there and put gatherite.org. Contact us. You go to the contact us page. It goes straight to my email. That's the safest way for me to deal with things now without, too much personal information getting out there. So dgatherite.org, you'll see my books. And we do have, I do want to make mention, I'm glad you mentioned that. We do have an anxiety journal. I know you don't like to write, Leah, but for those that do like to write, we do have an anxiety journal, and we do have a depression journal. And what you can do in that, so here's a strategy. What you can do with that, because like I stated, I'm a Christian therapist. So they have scriptures that you can meditate on, and then you comment on them at the bottom of those scriptures. So dgatherite.org.
All right.
So I know you shared quite a few projects with us earlier. Is there anything that you might have missed that you're working on, like currently, or cover it all in the beginning?
I just really want to reemphasize and wrap back around to the fact of the dad support group, so that people can be listening out for that. I will definitely have it up on my website when I do it. It will be YouTube. I do have a YouTube channel, but again, if they can go on dgatherite.org, they'll be able to get all, all the information that they need. But I'm really excited about the dad support group, because like I stated, being in the field for 20 plus years, working in the school system for 20 plus years, I have not seen, and somebody might need to, inform me of it as you're reaching out to me, that there is something out there, and it's called, whatever it's called. But I've not seen dad support it. I really have not. They've been bashed. They've been trashed. They've been like, that's terrible. Them dads that don't want to be a part. But no one has really set them down and helped them with their purpose. So that's what our challenge is going to be going into the future.
I like that.
Yeah.
And finally, is there a small message that you would like to share from your heart? It doesn't have to be about today's, topic. It can be about anything, but just something that you want to leave with people.
The threefold being that mentally, spiritually, and physically, people can just actively work towards that and stabilizing that. Because usually if you're not together physically, that's going to affect the way you're thinking. That's going to affect the way your spirituality is. So just basically, trying to live, and that's what my podcast come in, that we're dealing with a holistic life, trying to make sure that all three of those aspects are coming together as one, so the person can live their best lives. So my prayer for everyone is that whatever that looks like for you, it might be different for me. So just trying to live your best life and keep working at it. You don't give up. Don't give up. Don't say, well, you know what, forget it. I'm going to do something strange. No, just work on it every day. work on it every day.
All right. Thank you so much, Dee. Thank you again for being our guest, for talking about this with us. We really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Today's life lesson is do things that you love. Life is too short. You may just die tomorrow. So stop putting off the things that you love to do and do them. And that is today's life lesson. This has been the Lamont and Leia podcast.
Created by Lamont Damon and Leia Naka-Ahiki.
Special thanks to Dee Gatherite for joining us today.
This episode's topic was brought to light by Lamont Damon.
This episode was edited by Leia Naka-Ahiki.
Our music is from Culture Shock, Dream Wars.
Let us know what you thought about today's subject by sending us a message on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube.
Speaking of Facebook and YouTube, did you know you could also watch our podcast? Links can be found in the show description.
Please consider supporting our podcast. Check out our anchor page for more information.
And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
And if anyone's wondering, Get Out of the Doghouse Day is literally get out of like the doghouse, like with your spouse. So it's a day to make amends.
Yay!